Ezekiel chapter 37. You'll find Ezekiel right after Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations, then Ezekiel. Ezekiel, we do know that was a priest, but he never got to serve in that office. He was a young man that was taken into captivity. You know the story of Babylon. They come to Israel. They come to Judah. They carry off Israel, God's people, into captivity. And Ezekiel, Daniel, and Jeremiah were contemporary. They were living in and around the same time. We know Jeremiah, he was an old man. As God's children go off into captivity, he stays back in Israel, and he's speaking, he's prophesying, he's preaching to God's people, that remnant that was left there. Daniel was a young man, and he got to serve and got to preach and speak in the king's court, in that great king, King Nebuchadnezzar. Ezekiel, he speaks to the captives when they are brought to there at the rivers of Babylon. Ezekiel, I believe in many ways, he prophesied. He was this great prophet in one of the darkest days of Israel's history. There were false prophets in those days saying that Israel would return to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem wouldn't be destroyed. But it was Ezekiel that had to stand up and preach and say, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." It was a dark, dark day. People would not listen to his message. So Ezekiel resorted to a different method. Instead of speaking parables and preaching these parables, Ezekiel began to act them out. Some of the greatest visions, I believe some of the greatest messages, were given to Ezekiel. And I'd like to look at one of those messages, one of those visions this morning in this valley of dry bones, and preach on thought, "Just hold on. The half hasn't been told." Just hold on, the half hasn't been told. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 1. The Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass them around about. And behold, there were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breathe the breath upon these slain that may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Father, this morning we want to thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God. We want to thank you, Lord, for the songs that were sung to uplift your Son, our Savior's name. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Father, we know that you are so very near, and I pray, God, you would bless the reading of your word, that you would speak to your people, you would stir our hearts. I pray, Lord, you would save the sinner this morning for your honor and for your glory. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I see, first of all, in this text, these first 10 verses of the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, I see a meaning in the valley of this dry bones. As we read chapter 37, we realize that it's speaking to the future restoration, to the future resurrection of the nation of Israel, a restoration of their national identity and their spiritual revival for the nation. But we must note also this text, it's not only speaking to the nation of Israel. Ezekiel warned the people that if they would turn to God, and when they turned back to God, he would bring them to Jerusalem, and he would bring them out of the land. And this morning, I would like to use this text as an application to our lives and to our families and to our church. We can see this text and see how it mirrors the Word of God, and how as Ezekiel is speaking and he is prophesying, and God is trying to help God's his people, God's children, the nation of Israel. He too can help us, help our families, and help our church. Ezekiel, he's talking to the people, this nation. And the Word of God this morning, I pray that it speaks to us, and it speaks to this church, his bride. Ezekiel says, Israel, hear the word of the Lord God, O ye dry bones. You know, there's no other time that I see that many of our people, many of our church members are going through so many troubles and trials and are pressed and squeezed from the daily grind of this world that they have become dry and hardened and calloused. And God's speaking to us this morning here in this text. The Lord brings Ezekiel to this valley, this plain, and he sets him in the midst of these bones. Not just any kind of bones, but in verse number 3, the Bible says, very dry bones, very many, numerous. This valley floor is littered and it's scattered with dry bones. Bones here and bones there. Lives that once represented those that were up and moving and had purpose and had a plan. Now these lives we see are nothing but lives that are dead and full of disgrace. In Israel at this time, a body that is unburied, a body that is half buried, a body that is open would have been a very, very disgraceful thing. And now Ezekiel sees this valley of all around bones, dry bones, disgraceful bones. And in verse number 2, the Bible says, and he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. I notice it represents lives that have gone by. Once something that was alive and is now is just bones. These bones that Ezekiel encounters, they were part of a living body at one time, alive and full of meaning. Something that was upright and had purpose, but now is just scattered all around. What a sad story. What a depressing sight this must have been for Ezekiel. This valley, that lifeless valley, the disgrace, the dry bones, no life. But God asked Ezekiel an unusual question. In verse number 3, he asked the question, he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? What an unusual question. Ezekiel, you see this valley full of disgrace. My people had disobeyed. My people were disobedient. They were rebellious. We see these bones that are dry. They're scattered all around. Ezekiel, can these bones live? I don't think Ezekiel had much hope. He knew God was the God of all glory, that God had the power, the ability, and the might. But I don't know if Ezekiel had much hope. I was thinking about Jairus. Jairus was heartbroken. He got word that his daughter had died. He goes and gets Jesus. He knows Jesus has the power, the might, and the ability. But they come and tell Jairus, they say, trouble not the master. Your daughter is dead. Our Savior, full of compassion, full of power, full of glory, goes in her room, takes her by the hand, and he says, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. The Bible says immediately she arose. There was some hope. Jairus had some hope. You see, he had Jesus, and his daughter had only been dead for just a few moments. I was thinking earlier about Jesus when he comes to Nain. He goes, and here they're carrying a bier, a coffin of a body of a young man to bury him. And he sees this widow woman, her only son, a young man who's died. And he touches the coffin, and he says, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And the Bible says, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak. There was hope. You see, here was Jesus, this one full of glory, full of power, full of the ability and capability. And this man, young man, had only been dead for a few hours. Mary and Martha, they call for Jesus. They say, "Go get Jesus. Our brother Lazarus is sick. He's nigh unto death." But Jesus waits 4 days. He comes to Bethany. He makes his way to the tomb. And he cries, "Lazarus, come forth." And the Bible tells us that he that was dead came forth. Jesus had the ability. He had the power. He was capable because Lazarus had already been dead for a few days. Jairus' daughter, a few moments. The widow Nain's son, just for a few hours. But here in our text, very dry bones. No life. Something in the past. Parched, dried up. And Jesus asked Ezekiel this question, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I don't know if he had much hope. How about you this morning? I've already said it. It seems like life. It seems like this world. It seems like our enemy. It seems like sin has a way of pressing down and bearing down and causing us to become dry and causing us to become hard and calloused and grown cold. We need in our Baptist churches. We need children, the God's children once again, to be full of life, full of power, knowing that our God, Jesus Christ, can do all things. We find that our young people are, seems as they leave the church, they go out into the world, and carnality has invaded our Baptist churches, causing dryness and parches all over the land. Professions of faith seem to be down. Baptisms seem to be down. And like Ezekiel, I don't have much hope in myself. I don't have much hope in our church programs or our ministry programs. But I'm relying, I'm placing my hope, my faith, my trust in Jesus Christ, who has the ability, the power, the capability to do it again. Hey, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Notice his answer. "Oh, Lord God, thou knowest." Will God send revival to Fletcher First Baptist Church? Oh, Lord God, thou knowest. God, can you save my lost family members, those that are lost and on their way to hell? Oh, Lord God, thou knowest. Lord, can you put families that need help and healing back together? Oh, Lord God, thou knowest. God, can you add to our church and grow it for your honor and for your glory? Oh, Lord God, thou knowest. I'm trusting, I'm expecting, I'm hoping, I'm waiting, I'm desiring this morning for God to do that only he can do. Ezekiel, can they live? Oh, Lord God, thou knowest. There's a meaning in this valley of dry bones, but I want to say also there's a message in this valley of dry bones. Before this restoration of these dry bones, before the resurrection of something that was dead, before revival, there was a message that had to be heard. The Lord asked Ezekiel a question, can these bones live? And Ezekiel leaves that matter in the Lord's hands. He said, Lord, you can. You have the ability. I'm trusting you. I'm turning to you. Notice verse number 4. And he said to me, prophesy unto these bones. And I said unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And in verse number 9, He said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe the breath upon these slain, that they may live. First, the prophet, he begins to prophesy to the bones. I see the preaching. Secondly, he's told to prophesy to the wind. I see the praying. Here's the message. The preaching, I believe, of the Word of God, it has its share in the work of revival and God moving, but it's the praying of God's people which will achieve the results. We find here, he begins to prophesy to the bone. He's prophesying to the wind. And we can do our best this morning to preach the Word of God. Brother Randy does a great job in singing and leading the choir. But church, it's going to be your prayers. It's going to be you agonizing. It's going to be you seeking God. It's going to be you fasting that will cause the winds of heaven to blow again. This message we see, it's about the preaching. Ezekiel, you do your part. You be faithful. You do as I say. You prophesy. It's about praying for the move of God and seeking God. And it's also about recognizing the promises of God. Verse number 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. A promise. Promises from God. If we do our part, if we're faithful, if we put Him first, if we pray, if we seek His face, if we fast, if we long for Him, He will send His promise. It's a promise. God's proved His promises time and time again. He's proved that His compassion for us. But what about a God that's full of mercy and compassion? He's proved his companionship. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. He's never left us alone, Brother Kirkendall. He's always there for us. He's proved His companionship. He's proved His protection. He's provided. He's that guiding hand, that unseen hand that leads and guides. He's proved His protection going before us. He's proved His provisions. Food in our stomach, clothes on our back, shoes on our feet. He's been good to us. He's also proved answered prayers. Now, we could stop this morning and just praise God and thank God for all those prayers that He's answered in our lives. All those times we didn't know what to do, and we didn't see a way out, we didn't see a way through, but God came through. He's proved to be faithful. He's been faithful. Faithful to me, looking back, His mercy, His grace, His compassion, I see. He's proved His promises. So why would we not think tonight, can these bones live again? He's proved He'll save. I just want to say this morning, I'm glad I'm born again. I'm glad I've been redeemed, blood bought, quickened, made alive. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's proved He'll save. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. Brother Sammy said, if He can save the chief, He sure can save all the Indians. He can save. He's proved He can save. I bless His name. These Old Testament saints, they were looking for that Messiah. They were looking for that Savior. They were looking for the one that was going to bring these promises to them. But you and I this morning, we're looking back. We can say that He has been faithful. We can say that He's been true. We can say that He's come through every time and that God is true to His words. We can rely on Him this morning. We can trust Him. We can believe Him. He said, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. We need to do our part. We need to preach. We need to be faithful to the Word of God. We need to pray. And we just need to trust the promises of God. I see the meaning in this valley. I see there was a message in this valley, but I also see there was a mystery in the valley. Verse number 9, he said, then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, that's the north, south, east, and west. Breathe the breath upon these slain that they may live. This wind, these four winds, this breath, it's a mystery. In the Hebrew, the word breath, or breathe, it's the word spirit. Nicodemus comes to Jesus, you know the story. A religious man, a great moral man, a Pharisee. And he comes to Jesus and he wanted to understand this mystery. He didn't understand what it meant to be born again. He said, how can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb? And Jesus said, marvel not thy saying to thee, ye must be born again. John 3:8, he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. It's a mystery. Why God moves when he moves. Why God does what he does. When does God the Holy Ghost, decide to stir the waters? When does God the Holy Ghost, decide to speak and stir our souls? When does God the Holy Ghost, decide to move on that cold, despondent, dry life? When does God decide to sit down among us and breathe on us? Jesus wanted Nicodemus to know. Nicodemus, you don't have to understand everything. You don't have to understand everything about salvation before you experience it. We don't need to understand everything this morning about why God does and he chooses and he does as he pleases. I just want to experience it. I'm just waiting for it. I'm just trusting God that he will. We can't control the Spirit. We don't understand the Spirit. Our job is just not to grieve the Spirit. A mystery. I notice in this mystery, before these bones begin to come back together, before God begins to put back, to restore this nation that he will one day. In verse number 7, Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bones. Ezekiel begins to prophesy. And I noticed there was a noise, there was shaking, and then there was a coming together, bone to his bone. That noise, it's the idea of a voice. It's the idea of a sound. It means to make a proclamation. Here Ezekiel is making a proclamation to these bones. He's making a sound. He's speaking to these bones. These that are dead and dry and scattered, they are falling apart. This noise, this proclamation may have sounded something like, praise God. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Glory to God. Most of us, myself included, we're waiting for God to put things back together. Then we'll stand up and say, I bless your name. Most of us, myself included, we're waiting for God to answer that prayer. We're waiting for God to fix that situation. We're waiting for God to save that sinner we've been praying for. But here, before God ever puts it back together, Ezekiel is making a proclamation. I think our text shows us it may be dry in your life this morning. But why don't you just look to deliver and start making a proclamation? I don't know about your situation, but if you stop focusing on your situation and start focusing on the Savior, you can raise your hand and say, glory be to God. I bless his name. It's a mystery in the valley. But also notice there's a manifestation in this valley. What a sight that must have been. I mean, here's Ezekiel, these valley full of dry bones, dead and
parched and disgraceful, and he speaks to them. He makes a proclamation, and they begin to come back together. What a sight that must have been. Imagine those bones scattered, and here they're standing. It's all after he preaches and prophesies. It's after the praying. It's after believing God's promise. In verse number 10, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and they stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army." No more death, but life. No more lying around scattered, but now they're standing upright. No more dry, defeated bones, but an exceedingly great army. I was reading something a while back that it said if you were arrested for being a Christian, there'd be enough evidence to convict you. When others see our life, when this world sees our walk, when they see our testimony, when they see our church, do they say, "Wow, that's an exceedingly great army"? I'm asking this morning my Savior to manifest himself in my life, in my family's life, in my church. But notice in verse number 7, "I prophesied and as he commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone." There was a noise. There was a praising. There was a proclamation. There was a thanking of God for exalting him for who he was and what he was going to do. There was a shaking. He begins to stir. He begins to awaken. These bones come together. That's the unity among the brethren. The day of Pentecost, they were in one mind and one accord. Then in verse number 8, we find these sinews and flesh. God will begin to place things in order in our church, in our life. These things that will, when we prioritize and put him first, will begin to come back together. Then in verse number 8, he talks about the skins that covered them. We need to be clean. We need to have all of our sins under the blood. Nothing between us and God. And then in verse number 8, he said, "But there was no breath in them." There was a waiting. The breath of God. Ezekiel, he's telling us, just hold on. Just hold on, church. The half hasn't been told. I don't know what you're facing this morning. The prayers you've been praying, the trials you're going through, the family situation. I don't know what you're facing. It may be dry. It may be parched. It looks like there's no way. It looks like there's no help. But God's telling us, church, just hold on. The half hadn't been told. Trust him. Look to him. Let's stand this morning. There's a meaning in this valley. There's a message in this valley. A mystery in the valley. And a manifestation applied to us this morning. Father, this morning I pray that you would help your people. Speak to your people. Lord, let us look to you in all things, Father. You know the situation we each face. Father, you know the ones that are in our congregation under the sound of our voice that's lost, that has no hope outside of you. God, I pray that and wait for that day that you begin to stir and move upon them. Lord, we're trusting you this morning for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This altar's open. I don't know your need.